In this dangerous age, no character trait is more vital than faith. Learn how a prophet of God who lived thousands of years ago developed deep, life-saving faith. Next on The Key of David with Gerald Fleury.
Greetings, everyone. The book of Habakkuk is an Old Testament book, but it has a focus on the end time, and it has an end time message. Habakkuk talked about Jerusalem and the time just before Babylon conquered the Jews in the Middle East. At that time, of course, Jerusalem was destroyed, and the temple was also destroyed, Solomon's temple, the most beautiful edifice ever on this earth, I'm sure. But that's all a type of what is going to happen in this end time, and we explain that in our, well, many of our booklets like Jeremiah and Habakkuk and others. But Habakkuk pictures a fierce crisis, which is inside the world crisis. And he shows how that you have to have a powerful faith to survive something like this. And that's what I want to talk about today. Habakkuk had a depth of faith that we need to study more closely. And so today I want to show you why his faith was so powerful and give you seven reasons why it was so great. Notice Habakkuk 2 and verse 4. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. His faith. Now, faith is just simply living by what the Bible says. Tells us to do. Matthew 24, Christ said, well, there are going to be many people deceived because they talk about me and my name a lot, but they don't deliver my message. If we have faith, we have to believe this book, which is Jesus Christ in print. We have to believe it and believe what Christ said. Now, he says very clearly that his message here is coming from the Old Testament, and he also gives the same message in the New Testament. Christ said in Matthew 4 and verse 4 that we have to live by every word of God. That's pure faith, to live by every word of the Old Testament and the New Testament. Christ himself said that. So, if you want to survive the kind of crisis that we're going to have to survive in this end time, Habakkuk gives us a formula to do just that, to build that kind of faith. And so we'll take a look at that today. He teaches us so much about faith. Notice verse 2 of chapter 2. We'll just take a look at a little part of this chapter. And the Eternal answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables that he may run that reads it. So God revealed a vision to Habakkuk, and he said, now I want you to write upon on tables or tablets, get the message out to the public as much as you can. Today we get it out by television, radio, our magazines and booklets. But God says, what I give you and reveal to you, you must proclaim it. You have to proclaim it. And then he says, get it, make it so plain that people can run when they see it. Run spiritually, and maybe in some cases even physically, to make sure you survive spiritually and physically as well. He's talking about real faith here that will save you spiritually and get you into the family of God or the kingdom of God. He's talking about faith that will save you for all eternity. That's what he's talking about. But he's saying now it begins by doing God's work and with a real sense of urgency. We're living in the end times and time is running out. And this book talked about the problems that Habakkuk had anciently, but mainly the focus is on this end time, and you'll see that as we go along here. You'll see it very clearly. So why Habakkuk had a great faith? And I'll give you seven reasons why. First of all, he delivered God's message with urgency. Now, God will give us faith if we obey Him. He promises to do that and give us the very faith of Jesus Christ Himself. Galatians 2 and verse 20, the very same faith. If you look upon this world today and all the weapons of mass destruction and terrorism and all kinds of problems around this world, you see it in China, Russia, Iran, North Korea, and other nations, certainly in Europe. But notice this amazing prophecy that God gave to Habakkuk. And notice what it says here in Habakkuk 2 and verse 3. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, be patient, because it will surely come, it will not tarry. At this end time, that vision has come, and now it is going to speak, God says. It has to speak to us. The number two reason why Habakkuk had such outstanding faith was he had a picture of this end time work of God, and he had a picture of the world in which this work would be functioning. So he saw all that very clearly, and he had the faith. He lived by his faith. He walked by his faith. And just think about this. God says this vision would speak to us in the end time. Tells you that clearly. This is for the end time. And he said that over 2,500 years ago. Now, surely we can see that the Old Testament is for our time today as well. And the major prophets, minor prophets, former prophets, just all kinds of prophecy in the Old Testament, including Daniel and others, other books. But we have to have a far-reaching faith, a living faith. God says it would come at an appointed time. Now, we're going to understand that if we know God's Word and if we apply it in our lives. And we can build the kind of faith that Habakkuk had. And let me tell you, he had a real struggle. God put him through a lot. But he's given a great example here to teach us how to have faith that will save us for all eternity, spiritually, save us physically and spiritually. And both of those are great, great miracles by God. So God has spoken to us in this end time. And when he does that, he always says, well, now you have to go out and proclaim that message. You have to do it to build your faith. You have to apply your God's Word. You have to obey. You have to step out and do what he says. And your faith grows and grows and grows amazingly fast at times. Verse 4, let me read that to you again. Habakkuk 2 and verse 4, behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. You can't live by somebody else's faith, or you're going to be trusting in a man, and that's going to fail. That faith is going to fail because it's a weakness. But Habakkuk said, well, look, you have to be led by his faith. It has to be your faith in God, your faith in this book right here before me, Jesus Christ in print. It has to be your faith. It can't be your leader's faith or your church's faith. It has to be your faith. That's important, and that really gives you a lot of depth about what Habakkuk was talking about. He says here, the just shall live by his faith. It has to be a living faith, one that's alive every month, every week, every day of your life. He lived by that. And it's talking about really two men here. If you get the context, we'll send you the Habakkuk booklet and tell you how to get it at the end of this program. But it's talking about two men. One was led by vanity and pride and had no faith. And yet here is another one that was a just, and he lived by his faith. He did exactly what God said to do. Living faith. We have to have living faith. And I'll tell you something that's rather shocking. If you want to find out who these two men are, all you have to do is get our booklet on Habakkuk, and it will reveal to you who they are. God really gets specific because He wants to give us faith and show that it works in your life. Your life. It's about you. So, number three, Habakkuk had a living faith. You can look at James 2, and James talked about having a living faith. And it said, a faith without works is dead. If you don't apply that faith, get out and have works and do what God says, then you just have a dead faith. But this is a living faith. It's alive in you. You have the very faith of Jesus Christ in your mind and in your life. Now, what is more precious than that? This is a powerful living faith, and it's the kind of faith that will save you for all eternity. And James also says, I think I might mention this, that you can't just believe in Christ. That isn't faith of itself, if you just take that only. And James said, why, Satan and the demons believe in Christ and tremble, but they don't have any faith. You have to believe God. You have to have faith and do what He says. And then things really begin to happen. Jeremiah 17, verse 5, cursed be the man that trusts in man. That includes yourself or any other man. You can't look to men. This faith, it has to be alive. It's between you and God. Your faith in God and what God says in His Holy, inspired Bible. That's what he's talking about. Now, if you look again, that when you're talking about a dangerous crisis, I mean, this was in the, Habakkuk was prophesying in the 6th century B.C., over 2,500 years ago, and Jerusalem was destroyed, the temple, well, before it was destroyed, it was just a mess. God's people were not doing what they should be doing. And all of that, all of it is a type of what's coming upon us in this end time if we don't understand this and repent of our sins. Notice Habakkuk 1 in verse 1. Let's go back just a little and we'll see more of this. The burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see, in verse 2, O Eternal, how long shall I cry, and you shall not hear, even cry out unto you of violence, and you will not save? Now that was a real trial for him, and we have to have a fighting faith. Paul said, fight the good fight of faith. We have to fight to have this kind of faith. We have to fight for God's truth. We did that for 6 years in a court battle, and Habakkuk explains what that all means. I'm telling you that events were very bad for Habakkuk. He had a crisis within an epic crisis. He was right there when his nation was about to be destroyed. Well, it's even worse if you apply it to this end time. But he also had the crisis of God's people falling away, though that's what Habakkuk 1 is all about. They were falling away, and because they didn't have faith, most of them fell away. And it's just a type of what happens in God's church in this end time. Most of God's people fall away just before the great tribulation. And that's all typed by what Habakkuk is talking about. And then he went on to say he was having grievance in verse 3, and it's all written in the present tense. Things don't often go the way we expect them to. That's where the faith comes in. We have to trust God when things are not going the way we think they ought to or we'd like them to be going. That's just the way it is if we're going to build character. But Habakkuk goes on to talk about violence and grievousness and raising up strife and contention. There was just all kinds of strife and contention. And then verse 4 says, the wicked compasses about the righteous. That's amazing. The wicked grew so strong that they compassed the righteous and kicked the righteous out. And that's an exact precise type of what happened in this end time. Habakkuk tells us this is for the end time. It's a vision for the end time. So many of God's people were falling away then, and they have fallen away in this end time. And you can go on and see how bad it gets in verse 6. Verse 6 says, for lo, I will raise up the Chaldeans. That's modern Babylon. It's all Babylon again. The Holy Roman Empire. The same philosophy and group of people. That bitter and hasty nation. Well, which nation would that be? Well, Habakkuk will explain all that to you. It's a hasty and a bitter nation. And oh, how they have conquered other nations throughout history. You need to read our booklet on Germany and the Holy Roman Empire. It goes on to say they are terrible and dreadful and like the evening wolves, and very, very descriptive of what's coming in this end time. Now, verse 11. Then shall his mind change, and he shall pass over and offend, imputing that his power unto his God. Well, he thinks this is God directing him in what he's doing, but it isn't the true God, it's Satan, the devil, the god of this world. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4. And God says, I will send him against an hypocritical nation. Well, who could that be? Well, actually, it's nations in this end time. Who are those nations? Well, Habakkuk will explain that to you very, very directly. But he attributes all that power to his God. And he treats human beings like they're fishes of the sea or insects. You can read that in verses 14 through 17. And he goes to continually slay the nations. Well, how about that? Isaiah 10 and verse 7 says the very same thing. Essentially the same thing. Who is this nation called Assyria today? Well, our literature will make that very clear to you. And it's going to be a terrible, terrible time until Jesus Christ destroys all of these evil empires and returns to this earth and save us from destroying all human life. Matthew 24, verses 21 and 22. But notice Habakkuk 3, verses 1 and 2, a prayer of Habakkuk, the prophet, upon Shigionoph. O Eternal, I have heard your speech and was afraid. I was afraid. See, Habakkuk had fear. His faith gave him fear of God. Isaiah 66 verses 1 and 2 talks about where God says, "Well, to this man will I look, to this man who is of a contrite spirit and trembles at my word." Now really, really, do you and I tremble at God's word? Now that's super faith. That's the kind of faith that Habakkuk is talking about. You have to fear God. You have to fear violating or transgressing His word. How many people do have that fear today? Not very many. And then he goes on to talk about reviving God's work in the midst of the years or in the midst of the crisis. It should read, but you can see it does take courage to step out and do God's work. It takes strong faith, and especially when you're having massive catastrophes like Habakkuk is talking about that's coming upon us in this end time. He knew through faith what was coming, and he feared God. And there's a lot of problems talked about here in this end time. It goes on, he talks about this evil man cutting off many people. He destroyed their faith, and they lost God and His work. They just turned away from God because of an evil man who led them that way. And then he goes on to talk about verse 14, "For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." See, Habakkuk believed in a beautiful world beyond all this trouble. He believed in it. And what a faith that man did have. Verse 20 talks about, "But the Lord is in His holy temple. Let all the earth keep silent before Him." This is the way it should be. They ought to be keeping silent before God. And you can go ahead and read what's coming. Habakkuk says in verse 16 of Habakkuk 3, "When I heard, my belly trembled." Well, what is this about? What is this all about? What is making his belly tremble? Well, I'll read this quickly. Verse 17, "Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls." In other words, no grapes on the vines, and no oil from the olive trees, no sheep in the pens or calves in the stalls. What is this talking about? Well, it's talking about nuclear warfare, which Habakkuk saw and visioned 2,500 years ago today, or in this time, over 2,500 years. Think about that. Now, he just explicitly describes nuclear war and what is going to happen in this end time. Nuclear warfare. But notice the end result here. "Yet will I rejoice." This is verses 18 and 19. "Yet will I rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The eternal God is my strength, and He will make my feet like hinds' feet, and He will make me to walk upon high places." Habakkuk 3, verses 18 and 19. Now think about that. See, he saw beyond the worst crisis ever on this planet for this end time, in this end time. See, in number 7 point here, Habakkuk's faith caused him to rejoice. Facing the worst crisis ever, he knew God, and he had his mind on God, and he lived by faith. And that faith, that powerful faith, brought joy and rejoicing into his life in the worst times he'd ever faced, and in the worst times we've ever faced in this end time, I might add. We have to learn to build this faith in our minds to such an extent that no matter what the crisis, we still rejoice because we know the end result of all this. We know all the good news. God is going to intervene and stop it and bring us joy and peace forever. Until next week, this is Gerald Flurry. Goodbye, friends.
In this dangerous age, no character trait is more vital than faith. Learn how a prophet of God who lived thousands of years ago developed deep, life-saving faith. The prophet Habakkuk possessed urgency, vision, joy, and living faith. He prophesied specifically of an end-time legal battle in which God's people were pushed to the limit of their faith. Request Gerald Flurry's free booklet on Habakkuk to learn how God guaranteed victory in this court case a whole year before it actually happened. The Philadelphia Church of God now owns the copyrights to 19 books and booklets written by the late Herbert W. Armstrong. After his death, the leaders of the church he founded considered it their Christian duty to keep his writings out of print. Only the Philadelphia Church of God fought back.
God gave his people the victory even though the appeals court ruled against them. It is the most miraculous event in the history of the PCG. Had the PCG lost, the foundational writings of Mr. Armstrong would have been suppressed. God's message could not have been delivered to the world. This triumph in court revealed who believes God enough to fight for and deliver his urgent warning message. The most astounding part of it all is this specific court struggle is discussed in the biblical book of Habakkuk. Read our booklet on Habakkuk to prove the remarkable accuracy of this prophecy. You'll also receive a copy of our free booklet, The Holy Roman Empire in Prophecy. Habakkuk prophesied of a brutal war-making machine. He warned that a time would come when there are no people in the farmhouse, no animals in the stalls, and no fruit on the vines. Only nuclear annihilation could cause such desolate conditions. You need to know what the future holds in this regard. You need to know how Habakkuk remained intensely joyful despite receiving such a sobering vision. All our literature is available free of charge at no cost or obligation to you. Request Habakkuk and the Holy Roman Empire in Prophecy. Order now. For the free literature, call toll-free 1-800-339-7629. All our literature is available free of charge at no cost or obligation to you. Request Habakkuk and the Holy Roman Empire in Prophecy. Order now. For the free literature, call toll-free 1-800-339-7629. For the free literature, call toll-free 1-800-339-7629. If you would prefer to write, send your request to The Key of David, P.O. Box 3700, Edmond, Oklahoma 73083.